Yeah, we're about to do it, but then I left because I didn't like the way a vagina smelled. Hello and welcome to Meat for the Beast, episode 12. I'm Beastmaster Jim Connolly.
And I'm Beastmaster James McBay.
And we're back.
We're back.
We ain't a repeat.
Who thought we'd made it this far? 12, eh? 12.
Yeah, actually, technically, I jumped the gun a bit with my best of episode, as it's technically now, almost to the day, a year since the first published episode one.
Is it really?
So, yeah, high five that.
Up top!
Yeah!
Oh, yeah!
So we kind of hit, we kind of almost hit one a month, not really, but you know.
It comes in waves, really, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So when we can be asked.
I think we've done okay.
When we're not dying.
I've got to start by, there's been an outcry, James.
What?
There's, people have stuck with us through all kinds of stuff. They've stuck through your lofty review of Age of Extinction. they've listened to you call Michael Bay an auteur of the film medium.
Yeah, and we appreciate these guys' patronage.
Exactly.
I enjoy the fact that they listen to us.
But last week you crossed the line. Last month rather, by dissing the Batman 66 series. Is there anything you'd like to say?
I have no problem with what I said. What's the outcry?
There was a big backlash. The Grimsby Lantern was on his high horse.
Godless cocksuckers.
It was the biggest backlash we've ever had.
Well, if I recall correctly, I had a beef with the 66 movie.
Okay.
Yeah. Great. But I didn't mean that to come across as a beef against the Adam West era, which is a fine show. I'm completely comfortable with that. But there was something about the movie that just rubbed me up the wrong way. I thought it was taking the piss.
Well, I've got a proposition for you.
Go on.
Okay, if you'd be willing to make a public apology, I'd be willing to put Cesar Romero on the shit list for that fucking appalling tash. He put a white face paint over for his version of the Joker.
I don't think Romero deserves to go in the shit list, to be honest.
For me, through adult eyes, for me, that show's all about Frank Gorshin and Burgess Meredith anyway.
Julie Newmar?
Yeah, Julie Newmar. Yeah.
Okay, I apologise for any misunderstanding that my statement may have caused. To clarify, I enjoy the Adam West Batman. I just did not enjoy the film, which I turned off after 10 minutes.
Okay, we'll let you off.
Thank you.
Okay. So we've just had a big... we've just, since the last podcast, the general election kicked off.
Yeah, and, I don't think we should get political in here, though. We can just say that we weren't happy with the result, maybe.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
But also, Scotland, take us with you.
Exactly, yeah. There's been if you're unaware of it, there's people in the great northern cities, these two we currently frequent, like Manchester and Sheffield, crying for to join Scotland in their independence.
Yeah.
I'd be fine with that.
I'd be alright with that. But I guess that'd make us southerners then, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I suppose it would. That's true.
No offence to southerners, you're all lovely. But yeah.
I wonder what Scottish make of it. Whether they're like on board with us, thinking it's nice that we would want to do that, or whether they hate us even more for it.
Well, any Scottish listeners out there, what do you think?
Pipe up. Yeah. Pipe up.
Chime in.
So, going back to Batman 66.
Pardon me. Sorry.
Going back to Batman 66, as the kids are calling it now, formerly the Adam West Batman. I spoke with the chaps at House of Goza podcast, which is a good listen, check it out. And they were telling me, they put out that firstly, if you want to buy the Blu-ray of the series, if you get the Italian version, it's basically the same thing.
Yep.
All in English, even the menus, as far as I know, for less than half the price.
That's a sweet...
It's about £50.
That's a sweet deal, because, I mean, it's a pricey box set.
Exactly, yeah. I know he got us some pissy little Batmobile for that extra £60. So also they told me that Kevin Smith there's an episode where Batman teams up with Green Hornet and Kato, which is Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
He's done a follow-on from that episode, 6-issue series.
Okay.
Covers by our old mate Alex Ross. And House of Gozer guys told me that's well worth the 20 notes it's going for.
Really?
So yeah.
That
so.
I did have my. I remember him doing that. I remember seeing that. It was a good cover actually. It wasn't Alex Ross. Or is it just that? Is it the hardcover that Alex Ross has done? Or is it an old cover art?
Ross has done, I think it's 6 issues.
Okay.
All the six covers.
Right.
They do look pretty nice. They're his best work, I'd say.
Well, to be fair,
cover work.
As we said, he's good. He is a good artist, but his sequential shit his style doesn't work for proper storytelling.
Digifoto case book.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, do you think I'll give that a go? Do you think you'll give it a blast?
I bloody will.
Good stuff.
I'm still waiting for a sequel to Widening Gyre.
Oh yeah,
which was a fucking good read, though.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, he got tied up with quitting as a director to do stuff, and then coming back to make a load of films. And now he's trying to do Mole Rats 2. He's written a script for it called Mole Brats. he's been doing a countdown on Facebook. With each cast member coming back,
right,
and it's
right.
like 13 down, 2 to go, whatever. So currently, the only people yet to sign up are Ben Affleck and Priscilla Barnes, who played the three-nippled psychic.
Right, right. Yeah. You have to keep an eye on that.
Yeah.
So what else is going on? You've been at the flicks today.
I have. I went to the pictures.
What have you been to see, McVeigh?
I went to see Mad Max: Fury Road.
Oh,
believe the hype, people. I guess if you're listening to this statistically, you've probably already seen it. It's pimp.
Right, okay.
It's fucking ace. Do you want me to summarise the basic gist?
Give us a lowdown.
Max gets captured by these knobheads called the War Boys, who work for... I can't work out whether they're his children or they work for Immortan Joe.
I thought you said the Water Boys, then. That would be a grim scenario.
I know. yeah.
My old head teacher's favourite band.
What was it? What did they do? Hole of the Moon?
I can't even remember. Maybe yeah. Probably, yeah.
Oh, fuck the War Boys. the War Boys. They capture him and they want him as a blood donor more than anything.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Charlize Theron, Imperator Furiosa, she's driving the oil rig to Oil Gas Town to go and top up.
Yeah.
But she makes a detour and it's like, where's she going? Where's she going? Turns out she's nicked Immortan Joe's wives. His breeders,
right, right.
One of whom is played by Rosie Huntington Whiteley from Transformers 3.
Okay,
she's pretty good. She's kidnapped the women, essentially saving them. And Immortan Joe and his crew are like, no fucking chance. I want them back.
She looks pretty hard in it.
Yeah, it's badass. It's insane. It's
she's channeling Tank Girl, I think, and Tank Girl crossed with Ripley, or that kind of.
Yeah, there's that vibe, but you don't. I suppose you don't really get to know her that well, I don't think. You get a bit of backstory, but you just know that she's doing this for it's a good cause.
Right.
And Max gets thrown into the mix to help him out. It's insane. Like Mark Kermode said, felt like being run over whilst being shouted at. It is a bit of an endurance test. And at 2 hours, the constant barrage of vehicular mayhem. It could wear a bit thin, but I was hung over to shit and it was ticking my boxes.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
I was gonna say the one dubious thing in the trailer for me is Max giving some sort of Macca style thumbs up from the car window.
Yeah.
Made me think, I'm not sure about this. I can't imagine the Mel Gibson Mad Max giving anyone
it's good. In the context that's delivered, it's high praise from him. It's good.
Has he got an Aussie cattle dog again with a shotgun in its mouth?
Unfortunately, no. I think those are the things that I missed are his dog and his motor, his interceptor.
Right.
Yeah, I mean they nick it and he's like, "That's mine. That's mine. It's my car."
Doesn't sound like the Mad Max I know. This.
It's a different beast and it's. I don't know. I'm just happy it's here. 30 years in the making.
Yeah.
I mean, it was shot in 2012, and yeah, it's just so even after they'd made it, it was still in some sort of production hell.
Languishing.
Yeah, and I think it took someone at don't know, someone at Warner's to have a bit of faith in the project.
Yeah,
because it was,
yeah.
I think it was rumours of it going over budget, and when they first started shooting it, there was a massive flood, which meant that this hot desert that they needed was starting to bloom. So let's move to Namibia. But it's, yeah, it's a lot of fun, and it's well worth your time. And yeah, the big bad what's his name, Immortan Joe, played by the same actor who played the toe cutter from the first Mad Max.
Pretty nuts,
crazy, yeah.
Good to see. I noticed they did the big cinemas did a double bill.
They did
at the first two, which seemed a bit weird. They didn't do a triple bill.
Yeah, exactly.
Is the Tina Turner one that bad?
I don't think it's that bad. I don't remember much about it apart from her hit song "We Don't Need Another Hero" or whatever.
Yeah, yeah,
that's fucking ace.
Sweet song.
Yeah, it's right, good tune. and Master Blaster. It was little midget riding on the back of a man.
So, how would you? In terms of all the Mad Max films, where would you rate it? Like, put them in order of your favourites. From the top down. Favourite first.
It's like choosing your favourite child, isn't it? No, I've got any kids. So I suppose it'd be quite easy.
What would be your favourite Mad Max film? Not just the one you saw most recently.
Yeah, that's the problem. I need to re-see the first three. But in my mind's eye, I'm going to go Road Warrior, Mad Max, then Thunderdome.
Okay, yeah, I can imagine that.
Road Warrior is fairly kind of timeless and without kind of... I know, it's not as good as that. But I think you've got like your history attached to it. You've got your soft spot for it because you saw it when you were little. Yeah. And you're like, fuck yeah, this film's amazing. And it's been with us all as long as I can remember.
Mm.
And then you've just got this new entry. So I think the dust needs to settle before you start really ranking them. But it's thoroughly decent.
Do you think there's any chance of a sequel?
I think so. It's getting rave reviews. If that converts into decent bank... Tom Hardy signed on for, I think, three more.
Alright, cool.
As long as they've got tales to tell.
Yeah.
I'd like to see more of that shit. And I think it's good because it's kind of like, it's not exactly a reboot, and it's weird to call it a sequel 30 years later, but it is still Max Rokitansky. That's the character.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm happy with it, how it all went down. Do you want to talk about Brendan McCarthy being involved? Because I guess you might know about his stuff.
Yeah, cool. Yes, yeah, so one good thing about it for me was I bought the DC solo book, and one guy's work in that book was just fucking out there and mental. And it was an old 2008 AD guy called Brendan McCarthy, and he was apparently a production artist, and I think you said also wrote.
He's co-written it, yeah.
Right,
he co-wrote it.
Yeah, so I think that explained why it looks so fucking cool and mental, basically.
Yeah.
So that's good to see. They've got a bit of a British hedonist involved.
Yeah, it's good. There's some fucking astonishing motors in it. Like, the fuck came up with cars, melted into cars, onto the back of a truck. And then these gross mutants with big feet and shit. Yeah, there's a lot of awesomeness and a lot of repulsiveness going on.
Yeah.
As you'd expect.
Because what I'd seen of the production art, if somebody gave me a fuck ton of money and said, go and do the Mad Max film you'd want to see,
that's
pretty much what I would have drawn, but it wouldn't have looked as good, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
So, fair play to them.
It's totally what it looks like. But I was reading into Brendan McCarthy when he did, I don't know what book he was writing, but in the 80s, when did Road Warrior come out? Was that 82, something like that?
Well, I think Road Warrior is more like mid to late 80s, because the first one was about 83, isn't it? 82, 83.
No.
Is the first one really, really old?
It's like in the 70s.
Give us those dates.
Yes. Right. Mad Max 79, Mad Max 2, 81, and Thunderdome 85. So yeah, that's why this is 30 years later.
Shit, man.
Crazy stuff.
I had no idea, like, Mad Max began in the fucking 70s.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like a 70s film.
I know.
The first one. Shit, we were saying like the most impressive thing about the first one for me is those stunts that look like someone dies in every fucking action scene. <Yeah. laughs> I read somebody shot it for a ridiculously low amount of money, like the fucking parking fee on like a on a fucking Ken Loach film, wasn't it? so, fair play. So, are we all right on Mad Max? Anything else you want to say?
No, apart from just go and see it, because it's ace, and it'll probably make you want to rewatch the first three.
Because
I'm itching to watch those bad boys now.
Yeah, I was regretting missing that double bill, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, but they should have totally done a triple bill. Thunderdome doesn't get enough respect.
Yeah, you're right. So, I've also been at the cinema.
What did you see, Jim? What did you see?
I'll even say I went to see it purely so we don't look like a pair of flaky twats. Kind of comic book stroke film podcast. But one of us should go and see Age of Ultron.
Ooh, shit.
And
The Avengers, directed by modern cinema maestro Joss Whedon. Knows his way around a fucking camera. Well,
McVay's old friend. So my review would be less impact than the first one. I liked the first one a lot. I thought it was a groundbreaker. I thought it kind of, even though I agree with you were saying about visual style, it's a bit lacking because Whedon, like your argument is Whedon doesn't have much of a visual style.
Pretty much.
Totally agree with that after watching the second one. I think you're right. At first I thought you were just sour grapes because people like his films and hate Michael Bay's. And they're essentially the same kind of film.
I see your point.
I'm on board with your argument.
I can understand why The Avengers had such impact because there was a lot of pressure on it. And you've seen these heroes in their standalone adventures, and to put them all in one thing, it could suffer from too much of one and not enough of the other. But I think, to be fair to it, there was a decent balance, and everyone got their time to shine. What's the beef with this?
I've been making some notes because I wanted to do a good job of this, and to start with something positive. We've all seen the clips of the Hulk versus Iron Man in his Hulkbuster outfit. That sequence is excellent. That's easily the best bit of film for me.
Right.
It's the most enjoyable bit, and they do a really fucking nice job of it. It could have gone on a bit longer. There's only about 5 minutes of it.
Okay.
But it was a great... I don't think we've really, really seen a good old fucking Marvel beatdown, which is, two heroes slugging it out, which is, for me, is what... One of the things that defines Marvel, isn't it? I think you've got a Marvel more pop culture, often a lot of romance issues and that sort of thing, which I don't give a fuck about. But the third one was, you'd often see Hulk beating the shit out of the Thing or vice versa.
Right.
And that's fine by me. So, and that was nicely done, very nicely done.
What's the, would it be a spoiler to, because I'm curious as to what's the beef? Why Hulk and Iron Man are fine?
Well, they bring in one of the new characters is that Scarlet Witch.
Scarlet Witch. Oh yeah, Elizabeth Olsen, I think. Looking pretty good. Easy on the trousers. So.
She tampered with your mind and loosened your trousers. At the same time. she sort of fucks with Banner's head, and Hulk goes on a proper rampage.
Right.
It's not quite as extreme as the end of Superman, but Hulk basically trashes. It's a city that looks like South Africa, so I'm wondering if Blomkamp's had a bit of an influence there.
Okay.
I think they thought doing it in New York again is a bit lame.
Yeah.
So let's just do it somewhere different. Where's cool in a minute? South Africa. it's worth seeing just for that. Right, my worry from watching the trailer was that Ultron looked like a bit of a bell end.
I did like that bit where he looks like he's doing a wanker gesture.
Yeah, my only experience of Ultron was I don't know if you remember Secret Wars from the 80s.
Nope.
I had the figures and the comics, and Ultron was in that, and I sort of follow that Nick Percival comic artist who's also a Sheffield man.
A local lad.
Yep. It's great work. He had written that he imagined Ultron being quite squawky because his face looks quite like a sort of a bird skull or something. Yeah. And I kind of agree with that. And as much as I like James Spader, the voice was just a bit like, don't know.
Right.
Didn't really, you wouldn't have even really known it's James Spader, I don't think. To me, it sounded like he was doing a Downey Jr. a bit.
Shit.
Because Ultron's comes from Downey Jr.'s subconscious or some bollocks.
Okay.
And it, I think at times Downey Jr. might have even voiced him, because it was very, very Downey Jr. in bits.
Right, right.
Yeah, it was just like, you know, in Guardians of the Galaxy, you've got characters like Groot and Rocket had real character and really dominated the film.
Yeah.
It's kind of the opposite of that. It was like, it was just this boring robot. I just thought, so what?
What about Vision? How does he come into it?
Oh, that's, what's his name?
Jarvis?
He was okay, yeah. Quite an extreme look.
Yeah?
You know, I think it's the most extreme look we've seen in a Marvel film. He's quite, a tougher sell than, say, like, Iron Man or the Hulk or something.
Okay.
But, yeah, he looked good. I knew who he was when he came, you know what I mean? He's like Marvel's version of, what's it, Red Tornado or something.
What the hell's Red Tornado?
He's like some DC dude who's like high-level intelligence robot.
Okay, right.
I think, you know, like, they've got, like, Quicksilver's their Flash.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that guy's there, Red Tornado. I think Red Tornado ripped him off rather than Quicksilver at the Flash, I presume.
Shit.
What else? I lent you Hawkeye recently. You didn't get a chance to ever.
I did. I've not read it all. I've read out of it. Yeah.
Did you? What were your thoughts?
It's good. It's good. It's the Matt Fraction stuff, right?
Mm.
Yeah, it's good. I like how every episode seems to start with, is this a bad idea or something?
It's about years since I read it, actually.
So right. It's all right. I've got to say the artwork isn't really doing much for me, though.
Outrageous.
Yeah. It's all right. Yeah, I'm getting through it. It's good. It's good.
Not enough Jim Lee Bezier curse for you. Pervy shots of one.
There's not enough ass in it, Jim, basically. That's my problem. Not enough ass.
You didn't appreciate the limited palette of purple and violet he's using.
It's
the opposite of shit muncher right now. The reason I mentioned Hawkeye is that I really like what they did to Hawkeye in that comic, because they turned him into a bit of a stoner dude, and he lives in Brooklyn in some big tenement building, and every night he goes on the roof and there's a barbecue going on. Some guy called Grillsy. Grills is cooking up a few burgers, and
I like that. That's a nice touch.
Yeah. And Grills refused to call him Hawkeye, he calls him Hawk Guy. Hawk Guy. I've just read one where they go to rescue Grills's dad, who's stuck in like some shitty part of, you know, what's it called, Rockaway Beach or something.
Right.
And the floods that happened last year or the year before wash Grills's dad's house away, and they have to go and rescue him.
Right.
So it's a good book, but I was sad to see that they've not carried any of that into Hawkeye. You know, I liked him in. They do a bit more with Hawkeye and what's her name, Black Widow.
Good.
They sort of shine in it, but Hawkeye is a sort of, he's a bit like me. He's a boring family man. Right. I was thinking, I've got enough of this at home. I don't want to see my life on a blockbuster. Right. Iron Man. Iron Man's getting boring.
Is he? Well, Iron Man 3 was the best for me. What's he up to in this? Is he on the booze yet? Because I think that's one
don't thing. Say the best, it makes you sound like an idiot.
What?
People who say the best sound stupid, I reckon.
Really? Right, it's tops.
Sorry.
It's boss.
Personal favourite. Sorry, I say whatever you want.
Fuck you. I don't like that shit.
It's the best I've ever.
It's the best one. Iron Man 3 is ace. It is my personal favourite.
Yeah.
Right, so is Iron Man hitting the booze yet? Because it's, you know.
No. I'll be honest with you.
We've never touched on the demon in a bottle stuff, and I think following his, you know, his PTSD, I think he should be hitting the liquor. Not that I'm advocating it, but I think it was it was one of the most interesting stories, the demon in a bottle stuff. So I think it should be touched upon.
Okay, it's like. No, it's not, basically.
Alright.
We're sort of five films. Iron Man's essentially five films in.
Yeah.
And I'm bored.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm kind of like, it's Iron Man, so what?
Yeah.
And his one-liners are not as well scripted, and
right,
his suits look a bit like, you know the later Herbie Goes Bananas films. Herbie starts to look a bit like been thrown together a bit more. And
yeah,
just a bit. Just think maybe he needs to stop doing it now.
Right.
Maybe get like someone other than Don Cheadle to be War Machine.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what they're doing. The next Captain America 3 is Civil War, isn't it?
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So presumably Iron Man's going to be in that.
I don't know if he is,
really?
I was looking at the cast list and I don't think he's in it, so that's a bit weird.
That is a bit weird.
Bit of a sellout if they don't put him in it.
Yeah. Well, maybe Downey Jr.'s cost him too much. I imagine his salary is increasing each fucking film.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Interesting.
It was, I'll tell you, one other thing it lacked a bit was, I'm starting to moan now, but it wasn't as funny. There was a few things that were obviously gags, and I was just like, oh, that was a gag.
Right.
Realised after it, and I'm like, yeah, that wasn't really funny. I think the only bit that made me laugh out loud was, right at the start, I'm not ruining anything, it's like some pillbox, and people are taking pot shots at the Avengers and stuff.
Right.
And nobody can get to this pillbox because there's other sort of mutant guys running around who are called the Enhanced for some shit reason.
Okay.
Just call them fucking mutants. What's your problem?
Maybe it's politically correct. I don't know. Yeah, maybe mutants, maybe mutants don't like it. You can't call them that.
It seemed like a deliberate attempt to separate it all from the X-Men, which seems a bit odd seeing as we've got X-Men in it now.
Yeah, good point.
So anyway, this pillbox can't be reached, and then Hulk shows up and just like runs through it without even stopping. Almost like doesn't even notice. He's like, and presumably everyone in it is now fucking dead. So that bit made me laugh. And there was a bit of Banner Black Widow romance, which was nice to see.
Nice.
And they didn't overdo it either. It was just subtle. It was like, in real life, a bit of flirtation.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
A bit of a few gestures here and there. Yeah. A friend giving you the gentle elbow. You know, go and ask her out, mate. Go and ask her out.
Yeah.
So I liked that. I thought that was done pretty well.
Good.
Although I kept worrying Banner might be led into a dark room in Glasgow and slowly sink under the floor. As she walks away.
See ya.
Leaves you with other broken men. And slowly consumed. We're on about the film, what's it called? Under the Skin.
Yeah.
Which we never talked about, have we, actually?
Well, I only got like 10 minutes into it.
Really?
Yeah.
Outrageous.
I didn't have a say in the matter. Amazon Player was fucking up.
Oh, okay. I'll let you off. I
do want it.
I thought you were going to disgrace yourself there.
No. Not today. Try not to anyway.
Maybe you could... I watched the last episode. McVeigh reviewed the Nirvana doc.
I did.
The Kurt Cobain doc. So I won't...
I went to the pictures to see that.
Yeah.
like a proper Nirvana fan.
To be fair, the Blu-ray was out while it was still at the pictures, so I'll raise you that. How'd you like them apples?
I think it's disgraceful.
James McFall.
Whatever. What happens when you used to wait 3 years for shit to come to home video release?
Yeah,
now it's out at the same fucking time. It's bullshit, son.
It's the closest I've come to time travel, like. Because my friend Jez, shout out to Jez Tim, regular listener. He came over to see it because me and him were like big Nirvana fans. Jez got me into Nirvana. And he came over to see it, and I said to Jez, like, this is still in the cinema, this feels weird. This is like, we've gone like forward in time or something.
Yeah.
So, I liked it.
Yeah.
I thought it was a really well made film. It's almost not really a documentary, is it?
Pretty much.
Literally a montage. First two thirds, I totally loved it. A lot of visual style and lots of wacky animation. And
it is rotoscopy, that, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Looks really good.
Some insane music videos based on Kurt's old sketchbooks and that kind of thing.
The story when because he's desperate to get laid, so he goes to that girl's house.
They should have left that out, yeah.
And he says, oh, yeah, we're about to do it, but then I left because I didn't like the way a vagina smelled.
Yeah, that's...
I was watching that at the cinema in the Curzon. It was full of hipsters, and I was the only person. I did a proper belly laugh when that happened. I got out of there because I didn't want to make a China smell.
Yeah, that, I've read quite a lot of Nirvana books and that kind of thing. I've never read his journals because I think that's a little intrusive. Because apparently he wrote something like,
I remember,
don't let anyone ever read this.
So I remember when that came out.
Yeah, I decided not to read that.
Yeah.
Can't believe they put that in, yeah.
But yeah, it's when it gets to, I'm sorry, you're telling this bit, go on.
That's all right.
You said the first two thirds, it's all right.
It's essentially the first third. First third is essentially his upbringing, which is quite tumultuous, and then there's kind of the chaos of Nevermind and then becoming Massive.
Yeah.
Which is basically a clever cut of footage you've already seen if you're a fan. But I liked it, and interspersed with his own art, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Last third, much tougher watch, shitloads of Courtney Love smacked up singing with a big belly, which is a bit like, so, like, footage of her now saying, like, yeah, I did heroin when I was pregnant, but I knew she'd be alright.
Yeah.
Not like, yeah, I took a massive risk with my unborn child's wife, and I'm deeply sorry for that now.
Yeah.
She obviously fucking isn't.
Yeah.
And no sign of, what's her name, Toby Vale, who's...
Who's that?
They put his first girlfriend in, who's now not very attractive anymore, to be honest,
It's fair.
They leave out his second girlfriend, who's still gorgeous.
Right.
And he wrote Nevermind about her.
Okay.
And then, but they do put Courtney Love in, obviously.
Yeah.
Did you, Courtney Love?
Do you think it was because there's interviews with his mum? Do you think his mum looks like Courtney Love?
Totally. Yeah.
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Again, like another piece falls into place. Like shit.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's sort of fashionable to hate Courtney Love now, and I'll always give a live through this as a great
album. I've never hated Courtney Love. I guess because I've never been as much of a big Kurt Cobain fan, so I don't like blame her for his death or anything. Nah, like a lot of people do, I get the impression.
I don't blame anyone for his death. I mean,
him. He's the one who fucking shot himself.
Yeah, I mean, from reading his books, I already knew the guy was basically, he's like a young guy who's a bit of a selfish twat.
Yeah,
essentially.
Pretty
but
much.
Was also very good at his craft. It's just some very grim footage of. It has a bit where he's got a sort of heroin addict's kind of marks on his face. It's like he's been scratching his face.
Yeah.
Got calluses on it, and he's trying to hold his kid and sing a song, and he's like falling around. It's like, oh my god.
Yeah.
Like it's. I can see why that kid got taken off of now.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, watching that as. Like, I'm nearly fucking 40, I'm like fucking late 30s now. It was a bit different to being a Nirvana fan when I was 14 and reading about Kurt and idolising him. It was kind of like, it seemed like he needed someone a bit more stable in his life saying, what the fuck are you doing?
And I think so, yeah.
I don't think he really had that. So, but it was an interesting watch. It's certainly not, what I'd say is, not easy viewing, but maybe that's good.
Yeah, but it's also, even though you see the whole of this guy's life, I think it lacked a certain emotional impact. It did for me. Like, I found, have you seen The Last Days? Gus Van Sant's Last Days?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Not a great film. It's quite a fucking hard watch, that. I found that had more impact than Montage of Heck.
Right.
Even though it's not officially about Kurt Cobain, but it kind of is.
Mm.
I found that was, it resonated a lot more. So, Montage of Heck's alright. It's a good piece of filmmaking, at least.
Yeah, it's certainly, like, what I'd give it is, if you want to read a full review, you can go to UK Horror Scene. Go to UKHorrorScene.com, type in Montage of Heck, and you'll find my full review.
Ooh.
But what I'd say is, it's as uncompromising and intense as the music of Nirvana.
Ooh.
But it's also got his annoying girlfriend in there.
Yeah.
So, there's a lot of the last third I could happily skip if I was to watch it again.
Yeah, I guess it's best part of 2 hours as well, isn't it? In fact, it might be a bit more.
Yeah, it's a nice, weighty sort of doco film. No Dave Grohl either.
I know.
No Chad Channing. I mean,
no.
Chad Channing was in Nirvana for years, played on Bleach. Like,
yeah.
Although I watched a bit of him on YouTube, and he sounds a bit like Huckleberry Hound. he's got a real strong accent on. So might be why he never gets interviewed on any of these films. But I feel really bad for Chad Channing, because Bleach is an okay album, isn't it?
And it's all right. I'm sure it's sold millions. Yeah. So
it was their springboard.
Yeah.
And I'd say he's got more right to be in this documentary than Courtney Love, to be honest, in terms of Nirvana, anyway. Which I suppose it isn't specifically Nirvana.
True enough.
I think I've gone on a bit here on the.
It's fine. But also, like, as in Frances Bean's like the exec producer of it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, she should have perhaps been in there.
Yeah. I mean, all right, this has worn itself out on it.
So how about some music? Speaking of music,
is that some music? What do you listen to?
Forget Nirvana.
Forget Nirvana.
The next Nirvana, The Clench.
Shit. Clench are Clench, for previous regular listeners of the show will know that I'm in a band called The Clench, and we dish out some Americana-ish cowboy-tinged rock and roll. Last month we put out our new double A-side single, and on last month's pod we played Maybe Mexico. This one is the other side. It's called Riding Into Nowhere. Enjoy.
I've been searching for a critical.
that was the clinch with their new new hit. Well, it's not a hit. Fucking hell. A new song they've released, available on Bandcamp and iTunes and Spotify and the usual outlets.
Highly recommended.
Thank you very much.
We always recommend our own music.
Of course we do.
Very highly.
It's pretty decent.
Good stuff.
So yeah.
Well done to the clinch.
Thanks.
I know them well.
I'll pass it on.
I know them well.
I'll pass it on.
I've played with them many a time.
And obviously Hal the Grimsby Lantern is one of the clinch as well.
Oh shit.
And he'll be listening to this. He's a keen listener.
Hal's often come to my gigs and never made it into the gig room.
Well, you draw such a crowd, man. You're such a big draw. you can't see you. You get in there, it's like, oh, I can't even see the band. What's the point?
Yeah, we pander to the crowd. We're like ass clowns. The ass clowns of the Sheffield music scene. So, Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad, yeah.
There's been events.
Oh, yeah, it's a bit of a mixed one, this one, I think. Because I've got faith in it, despite what I'm seeing.
Yeah,
because it's by David Ayer, did Training Day, Sabotage, Fury, pretty fucking badass filmmaker, and he's written this, and it just what I'm seeing, it's looking a bit like a shit panto.
It's looking a bit like a sort of cheap TV show, isn't it?
Yeah,
from like Killer Croc especially.
Killer Croc looks dog shit.
Looks like I watched that series, The Cape.
Okay.
Vinny Jones looks like Killer Croc in this. Vinny Jones got scaly skin.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's interesting. Will Smith as Deadshot. I'm not opposed to the casting. Also, it's weird. Someone pointed this out to me. This is the first film in ages that I can think of Will Smith being part of an ensemble cast.
Yeah.
He's usually the main man, isn't he? And here he's one of a few.
Yeah, from what I understand of Deadshot, he's supposed to be a bit of a Boba Fett sort of character, isn't he?
That's the impression I get, yeah.
And maybe even English, isn't he? Kind of a bit of a gent.
I think I got that impression. Yeah, I'm not 100% sure. I've never read.
Strange casting.
I've never read any Suicide Squad, and it's a weird, like the group of them, who put them together. I think I get the impression. Is it Amanda? What's her name? Amanda Waller.
Amanda Hogan-Kiss.
Very good. Yeah, I'm just curious as to see how it's going to pan out. I mean, there's the photo of Jared Leto as the Joker, tattoos notwithstanding. That was a decent, striking image, I thought.
Certainly had an impact.
Yes.
I'm not convinced the Joker would write ha 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 down his arm.
No,
maybe. Or have some
fucking donuts written on his head or whatever.
Skull with a jester hat on it on his chest.
Yeah.
Like he'd just gone to fucking Bob's Inc. in. Fucking wicker arches and stuff. But apart from the tattoos, it looked alright to me.
Yeah.
If he's wearing a suit anyway, not even going to see a line.
That's true.
You know, Leto's a cool guy. So yeah. I think he'll pull it off.
And there's been picks. Obviously, there's a pick of them all lined up. Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn.
A rather slutty looking Harley
Quinn. I know. Brings an interesting, like last episode we brought up the shit list, really.
You're like, on my
shit list. yes, we brought in the shit list last time. Mm-hmm. In which I guess we've got unnecessary beef with complete strangers.
It's Stephen Hawking. I don't really hate Stephen Hawking, by the way, in case anyone was wondering.
We're on Suicide Squad, I'm going to put in Jai Courtney. If anyone doesn't know who that is, he played John McClane's son in Die Hard 5. He's in this as... Is he Rick Flagg in this, or is that the dude who played RoboCop in Suicide Squad? Or is he Captain Boomerang? He's either Rick Flagg or Captain Boomerang, I'm sure.
I couldn't tell you.
Either way, I fucking hate his face.
Yeah,
he's in Terminator Genesis as well as fucking Hicks. Fucking
Kyle Reese. Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, oh, you fucker. And there's just something about his face that he might be a lovely guy. I don't know him. Like I say, complete strangers. But I don't like the cut of his jib.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
He looks like a prick.
I don't like the RoboCop guy either.
Do you know?
That was my issue with RoboCop. You just look like some Fast and Furious bellend.
You think? Yeah. Hold on. What, you saying Fast and Furious bellend? What's wrong with Fast and Furious?
We're in McVeigh's abode. I'm looking at Fast and Furious 6 on Blu-ray.
Yeah. That's not mine, I've borrowed it. It's just appeared on Netflix anyway.
I've never seen them, if I'm being honest.
Do you want a quick little summary? We can branch off.
Yeah, it's okay.
They're fucking good. They're fucking good, essentially. Especially 4, 5, and 6, specifically. And also, it's clever, because 4, 5, and 6 are all technically prequels to 3. So shove that in your pot pipe,
right.
You craphead. Anyway, yeah, so I'm putting him in the shit list, because his face just pisses me off. Fucking look at him. Look at him. I'm holding a phone up here with a picture of him. Oh, fuck off.
I feel like Tom Hardy in that shot. Let's go through this. So we've got... Let's run through it again. We've got...
Stephen Hawkins.
Akira Goldsman, is it?
Akiva Goldsman.
Alex Ross. Someone else, isn't there? No, we took Audrey out. Audrey
didn't make it in.
Stephen Hawking. And now...
I don't know. I'm going to call it. Fuck it.
Quite a cool first name, though. J.J.
J.A.I.
Sounds alright, doesn't it?
Yeah. Possibly. I don't know. I don't care. Look at his face. I'm pretty sure he's probably a handsome looker. I'm not his target market, but can piss off.
If I ever had a son, I would call him Jay in honour of Jason Todd, the second Robin. Formerly known as the Red Hood these days.
Very nice.
I'd have to sort of sneak it by the missus.
And that's before she had the kid. Boom!
So does having kids appeal to you in the sense that you can name them after your heroes?
No. Why not? No.
Right.
No.
Why not?
I could name a fucking pet dog after a hero. I'm going to get or a fish or a hamster.
Okay.
It's my pet tarantula called Michael Bay.
We're often talking about Netflix and...
I think we should try and get some sponsorship, you know. We should fucking approach them. We'll big it up enough.
I've also got the Amazon equivalent of Netflix, which is Amazon Prime.
I'm sure other online digital outlets are available.
Yeah. Well, I watched one that passed me by called Gangster Squad. Pretty clunky title. It's essentially The Untouchables with Josh Brolin and Ryan Gosling in.
Cool.
And really, really good. Really enjoyed it. Yeah, great action flick. And also Sean Penn playing basically Robert De Niro.
Bloody hell.
Doing a really great De Niro impersonation. It's about these undercover cops keeping the mob out of LA. Apparently, the mob never got a foothold in Los Angeles. Because of some, it might be a load of bullshit, but some group of cops just went off the radar and kicked some serious ass.
Good work.
And Brolin's, from watching this and Sin City 2, I cannot believe he didn't get the Batman job. Because he's Batman as fucking it. Yeah.
I never thought about Brolin for Batman.
Not even when you berated me about him being Batman a couple of years ago.
I have. My memory's failing, Jim.
I remember doubting him and you selling his case.
Really?
Yeah.
Fucking losing it, sorry.
No, I'm with you though, I'm with you.
That's quite scary.
It's because Zack Snyder said he wanted either Brolin or Gosling for Batman. And then DC went, he's a fucking star.
I remember, yeah. But because we always said that Gosling was too young.
Didn't we?
Too youthful looking, at least.
Before I realised they were going for an old Batman.
Yeah.
I'll set off for Affleck, but I think Brolin would have been my first choice in retrospect.
Yes.
Would have done a good job, I reckon. He's not going to get a chance again, is he, now? He's like pushing 50.
Probably not.
I'd say. Maybe his age went against him.
Maybe. You know.
But yeah, if you've got access to Gangster Squad, check the shit out of it. It's enjoyable. It's a total rip off of The Untouchables. So what? That was a good film.
Looks good.
On Netflix, I've got into Stargate Universe.
God,
which I also dismissed.
It might be all right. To be fair, you're going to say it's all right.
Well, do you ever read SFX magazine?
No,
you don't.
Okay. No.
Well, there's often like a shot of an American sci-fi, and they'll be like handsome men in spacey military gear.
Yeah.
And you just think, what's this shit?
Yeah.
And then I did that once, and there was Robert Carlyle in the picture, and I was like, oh, right, that's okay. That looks interesting. I'll probably never watch it.
Right.
And it's finally come on my radar via Netflix. And it's actually really, really good.
Yeah?
It's essentially
What's it called again? Stargate?
Stargate Universe, right, right. On Netflix. And it's essentially, it's like you've combined Voyager with Battlestar Galactica.
Ooh, alright.
And made it pretty badass.
That does sound alright, actually. Yeah. Where's the Stargate involved coming to it?
It kind of, I don't want to ruin the whole thing, but the premise is that there's a base on some far off planet.
Right.
Carlisle's trying to dial up this unknown Chevron on the gate that he doesn't know where it's going to take them.
Right.
The base gets attacked. He dials up the Chevron. They all escape through the Chevron. Planet gets fucked. So that Stargate's gone.
Okay.
And they realise they're on this ancient spaceship that's totally, totally the other side of the universe.
Ah.
And the first sort of season's more like a fight for survival, like trying to breathe and trying to eat, trying to do whatever.
Yeah.
Trying to have a shit. And then there's
trying to have a wank without anyone knowing. Yeah.
Things start getting interesting after the, you know, there's the old cliches of like famine, pestilence, whatever else. And once all that's out of the way, it gets interesting. You get like weird time travel shit, and the ships flies through the middle of a star, and this kind of madness. And there's some time travel episodes that are fucking out there. It's way beyond anything Battlestar did, in my opinion. Like, Battlestar got very gaudy very quickly, didn't it? It was all about the Lord.
I can see.
That's what put me off. I got season 4 of Battlestar. I could do without another.
Fucking ended at season 4.
Did it?
Yeah.
Some 5 or 6, wasn't it, or something?
No, there's only 4 seasons. I can understand your reaction there. But
having come out of Catholic school, I didn't really want to go back there in adult life.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
But it had its moments, that's for sure.
I think it said more about war, and like they could get away with showing what they were showing because it was a sci-fi thing.
Right.
If you were taking those themes and actually dealing with like war on our planet and terrorism and shit and what drives people to be terrorists, that kind of shit that wouldn't get shown, I don't think, to that degree. Okay, so I think to the Duff of the Cat, Battlestar dealt with issues that other shows didn't.
I think my other moment with Battlestar would be Katie Sackhoff's character, Starbuck.
Yeah,
I thought the whole point of her character seemed to be she didn't need men.
Yeah,
It kind of went down the route of her having various relationships that pulled her apart, and it was a bit like, well, why don't they just make her a lesbian?
Possibly.
A lesbian badass. Because she kind of was without being one.
I suppose so, but you know, she's only human. Or is she?
See, I enjoyed Starbuck, but I thought the scripting for her got a bit lame. Just fell in love with Lee. Lee, I love you.
Lee.
I felt pissed off for Starbuck for the shit they wrote for her after a while. Because she did a great job of converting Dirk Benedict's great character, you know, the greatest Starbuck.
I think you're going off piece there.
But anyway, yeah, it's good. There's only 2 seasons of it, which I can see why, because it's going pretty mental.
Right.
I'm nearly at the end of it now. And I really like it.
What, is there only actually 2 seasons or just 2 on Netflix?
I think it does just have 2 seasons for some reason.
All right.
I might be wrong about that. But Carlisle's a total twat in it as well.
Okay.
Which is interesting. Because he's known for playing your little man kind of syndrome novel, isn't he?
Yeah.
Like tough little man. And he's not really a badass, but he's more an intellectual, obsessive scientist. But
okay.
He does have a... You can see the hate in his eyes.
Right.
And there's these military guys in control on the ship, and he's lots of twists and turns. He does everything he can to fuck them over. And
this sounds good, Jim.
It's pretty out there.
You've got a good job of selling this. I might add it to my list.
Cheers. No, it's worth checking out. Worth checking out. It's the only downer is it's one guy in the crew. He's a bit of a hefty chap, and he's like your comic relief at first,
right?
And he's annoying as fuck.
Okay.
The story hangs on him for the first few episodes.
Right.
He chills out. I think they realise very quickly we're giving this guy too much rope, if you know what I mean, and they pull him back, and he's actually all right after a while.
Okay.
He's kind of like Carlisle's trying to figure out some puzzle, and they put it in a game, in a computer game. He solves a computer game. So he's playing a character who's like, he's a sort of Sweet Steve kind of guy. He's like a computer game expert.
Okay, right.
Kind of stoning away at home and hitting the games pretty hard.
Nice.
Although Sweet Steve hated him as well, apparently. So I appreciate that.
Oh, Sweet Steve doesn't like fucking anyone, does he?
I think your Age of Extinction review lost him. We lost Sweet Steve in episode 6. I'm only kidding. So yeah, Stargate Universe. I also saw Afflicted. I don't know if you've seen that on Netflix.
No, it's on my list. It's on my to-do list. It looks alright. Yeah. Apart from the poster. The poster looks shonky as fuck.
Yeah. It's another one with a terrible start. The start almost lost me.
Yeah.
It's this corny fucking bullshit travel video at the start.
Right.
And then gets really good.
Cool.
We've all seen more than enough those first person films, but it's about as... has done about as well as you can do it, I think.
Good. That sounds alright.
And he just gets in. There's some guy who's got an illness that's going to kill him, goes on a world tour.
Yeah.
Has a very strange liaison in Paris with a woman.
Right.
And then things go tits up after that.
Right.
He goes through these weird physical changes. Oh. And, things start getting interesting. Like, some tough guys mess with him and his mate somewhere.
Yeah.
And for some reason they're filming it on these shitty cameras, and you just see one of them fly past the camera and smash his head through a car window, and
right.
they end up getting hunted by Interpol.
Holy shit.
Interpol end up after him, and it's all done very, you know, if that did happen to you, it's done in a way that it's shot in a way like it would, the events would fall into place, I think.
Right.
You know, suddenly the police are a big factor in it, and,
yeah.
Definitely worth checking out.
I'll check it out.
It threw me a bit of a curveball, so I watched the first 10 minutes, thought, why the fuck am I watching this?
And yeah.
I was intending to leave it on and fall asleep because I was watching it late at night, and then just got totally engaged, and it gave me nightmares. So
wow.
That was good.
Bloody hell.
It's quite, it reminded me a bit of what was the guy who's shooting Fantastic Four in a minute? What's it?
Josh Trent.
What was his first
Chronicle
film? Yeah, a bit of a Chronicle vibe.
Cool.
In a good way.
I like Chronicle.
Yeah, me too.
Very good.
And my last shout was finally fucking saw Elysium, having cocked it up.
Okay.
And I really loved it. I thought it was great.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
It inspired me to get onto McVeigh and say, when Chappie's out to buy, you can buy the triple bill on Blue. We thought maybe like do the triple bill and have a little Blomkamp pod,
yeah,
maybe.
That sounds good.
Or Blomkamp half a pod.
Have a little cry. District 9 makes me fill up, man.
So yeah, how do you like those apples?
I like all of them, Jim.
So we could like do District 9, Elysium, Chappie, have a little mini pod after each episode.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Get a Blomkamp on. Yeah. End it with some updates on Blomkamp's Alien sequel.
That sounds alright. It's gone quite quiet on that front, hasn't it?
Yeah, that's true. Well, it leads us to your comic review.
Comic review, yeah. I've been a bit out of the... You might have picked up Jim asking me, have you read this, have you read that? I'm like, yeah, no, I haven't. I've been out of the comic game for a while.
He's back in a big way.
I won't say I'm a big way, but I have subscribed to... I'm going to put out a fucking diss here to Forbidden Planet, right? You subscribe to like a series of comics, and there's only going to be 5 issues or 6 issues. And then I'm like, where the fuck... Issue 1's out. I know it's out. And I go back to check my subscription, and it says, your subscription does not include issue 1. I'm like, what the fuck use is that?
That is a bit lame.
Thanks a lot, dicks. No. So then I have to leg it to eBay and buy the last one from there. And now normal service resumes with Forbidden Planet.
Yeah.
And they don't even come in... The one from eBay was cheaper, came in a fucking board. This one just comes in a floppy fucking bag. Like, it comes in board, but doesn't come with a board. Anyway, long back to the thing. It is Joe Casey and Jim Mahfood's Miami Vice remix. And fuck me... It's a beast.
Cool.
It's proper post-new wave colouring. Fucking lots of neon everywhere. Lots of angular shit. It looks insane. It's funny. It's full of swearing. And it's just a ace retelling of Miami Vice.
Because you've got Mahfood history, haven't you? You're a Mahfood lover.
I do, yeah. He did the Clerks comic from back in... Fucking hell. 98, 99 he did, there was three Clerks comics, he did the first two issues. It's just lovely big thick black outlines, which kind of influenced the Clerks cartoon to a degree.
Oh yeah, of course.
Just thick black and white chunky stuff, really. It didn't because I guess the characters in Clerks look so distinct, they didn't need to look like the actors. Yeah. Which is the problem with the third issue, which I think is the guy also did James Silent Bob comic book, I think Duncan Figueredo, I think is his name.
Okay.
And it's just him drawing people who look like the actual actors. But the Jim Mahfood stuff, that doesn't sound right. How do you pronounce it? Mahfood?
I think it is Mahfood.
Yeah. It just sounds, it sounds like we're saying it.
He calls himself Food One as well.
So, oh, okay.
He's gone down quite a cool sort of Jamie Hewlett but crossed with street art kind of look, hasn't
yeah.
it? It's really fucking sexy to look at.
It's really good.
It makes me want to just jump off a bridge. just, there's no way I could ever
throw the tracing paper out the window. Why fucking bother?
I've traced a short line around your dead body. Actually, saying that, I did a bit of tracing recently. I had to draw some really boring shit.
Really?
I found a photo of it and just thought, fuck it. Trace the fuck up. Job done.
That'll be 150 quid, please.
No, it was only a small part of a picture, but yeah, I just thought I could sweat over all day over this, or I could trace the fucker in 10 minutes. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, check it out. Mammy Vice Remix issue 3 is about to land, and it's an insane tale. Crockett, Tubbs, Elvis, the gator, the crocodile. I don't know. It's very cool and very lovely looking.
Damn it, you've got a Crockett statue around here somewhere.
I've got a Crockett and a Tubbs and an Elvis, and yeah, they're up in the guest bedroom, Jim.
Right, okay.
You'll be sleeping next to those bad boys tonight.
So is it like a mini series or an ongoing?
I think it's a mini. I think it's five or six issues. They're going to suck it and see. Because there is also another Miami Vice comic by IDW at the same time, which I think is more traditional.
It's more like your
further adventures of
the. Well, this is like sort of Remix implies it's like a strange twist.
Yeah, it's like the same ingredients but jazzed up. Like issue one,
cool.
issue one, it's like Crockett and Tubbs are, they're on the trail of some people are going mental, essentially they find out what. There's this drug that the clubbers are taking, and it's turned them savage. It turns out they're all fucking bath salts, which I thought was a nice touch. So it's Crockett and Tubbs versus some nasty bath salted up psychos.
Fucking A.
But yeah, it's funny shit.
And it's on IDW.
Yeah, it's IDW, but someone else. I think it's someone else has made it, IDW are publishing it, but the people who made it, I think this is their first hard copy comic. They've just been digital up to this point. It's a sweet piece. Sweet piece, man.
Well, if they turn into a book, I reckon I'm sold on that.
Yeah, you should. I'm
McSold on that, mother.
Whoa, we're selling each other some shit that other people made.
Yeah, sounds good. I've joined his Facebook page, and he's, guy's fucking prolific, one prolific bastard.
Is he?
It's every day there's like just mental sketches and finished pictures and it just seems like, it's ball of energy. Like I imagine Jamie Hewlett to be just like this fucking, like you've pushed down a spring for 10 years when he's a kid and his adult life is a spring just exploding. I just burn out all fucking day and I just like a sort of cobweb on a drawing board. Just that guy's famous for a reason.
Well,
he's on a different planet. On a different plane.
I didn't know he was on there. I'm gonna like his stuff, but yeah, shout out to Jim.
Yeah, Mr. Food. Amen. He's a good man. What else? Oh yeah. Speaking of elections, Bez. I talked about Bez before in the reality party.
Reality party.
Bez didn't get in, unfortunately.
How did he fare against the likes of UKIP and the Greens?
Labour took the seat.
Right.
Which was a kind of, I think was probably what he would have wanted if he didn't get in, to be fair. Although I'm sure he wouldn't mind the Greens. But our friend of the show, Jay Darian Smith, the guy in the badass bat jacket, he put in a vote for Bez because he's a Salford man.
Good lad.
Salford's finest. He got in touch and he said, the message just said, I thought you should know, just voted for Bez. So hats off to Jay, good man.
Good work.
So have you got
what did it say, isn't it? What's Bez's name? What did it say on the voting form? Because it gives you like the full name and where they live.
I think his name's Mark for some reason. Speaking of Bez, actually, since Sin Black Grape, I bought a copy of the second album.
Right.
Wondering what it's like. Not actually that bad.
Is it all right?
Because you know, previously we talked about the Fourth Verve album.
Yes.
Being all right.
Yeah.
It's in a similar category, actually.
Okay.
Because at the gig, they really didn't sell it. They were saying, we went to the studio in LA, and there was a crack house next door. We went in there instead for 2 months. Came out, made a fucking shit record of our rocks. And it was... which wasn't the best promotion for that album I've ever heard, but it's not bad. It's alright. It's nothing like the first one. It's almost,
what's it, is it stupid?
Yeah, slightly dodgy picture on the cover.
Yeah,
I'm talking about. it kind of, you know, like at that point in late 90s, like stuff like the Chemical Brothers and Massive Attack had kind of taken over from Britpop.
Yeah.
That's very obvious. It's got a very dancey Chemical Brothers style to it.
That sounds okay.
It's actually alright. It's
fucking hell. I've just seen the cover for Stupid. Yeah, Google that if you want, folks.
Yeah. But I'd often wondered what the second album was like because I'd turned off by that point. But,
has it got a fat neck on it? Or was that? Is that an in-between albums single?
Yeah, that was just a random single. Yeah. I like that song.
I mean, Fat Neck.
What was all that about?
Fuck knows.
But, it's all right. And I bought it for £1. And I felt like I would have gladly paid £2. You know what I mean? So, and strangely, I bought the album off someone I fucking knew without realising it.
Well, bloody hell.
So what have you got for me, McVeigh? Anything else you wanted?
God.
In your sexy t-shirt.
Oh, thanks.
Is that a new t-shirt?
No, I had it about years ago, but I thought I could fit into it, but then I turned into a fat bastard. Now I've dug it out of the wardrobe, I can fit into it. It's a fucking medium, son.
Is it okay to mention our past friend?
The fallen comrade.
Because it's now been 12 months since we started recording, we've seen the passing of someone very close to us both. Seen the end of Fatty McVeigh. A good man gone.
Fuck that fat fuck.
James has been on a diet and lost 3 stone, isn't it?
3 stone, man.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Turned from a lovable fat lad into this sultry, condescending little worm I see in front of me. No, fair play. So what's the secret? Coming from a fat man myself.
Cut the bread, cut the fat.
Okay.
Lean meats.
So you don't
lay off the cheese.
Can you not eat any bread then?
Yeah, a small King's Mill roll, about 30 grams.
Okay.
And after that, I found that my body... This is so boring.
No, go for it.
I found that my body got used to that amount of bread. So then if I ever have like a fucking burger or like a Subway sandwich or something, I'm like, I can't even eat this. Right. Genuinely, I'm like, fuck this. And then you stop having that kind of shit. You stop craving it.
Right, okay.
It's pretty interesting. Yeah. I haven't had macaroni cheese with chorizo as a hangover cure in months.
So you not eat any cheese now?
Cottage cheese.
Jesus, that's like eating your fucking bellend, isn't it?
No. It's, again, you get used to it. It's got a good mouthfeel.
Right.
Okay. But yeah, fat-free stuff. Cut the fat, then you get it into moderation. I did not quit the booze in any capacity.
Right, okay.
Some people saying, oh yeah, just lay off the drink. Well, how about stop eating all the cake, you fat bastard? Not you, I meant general people. So I didn't quit the booze.
Okay, yeah, I can vouch for you know, you're always always up for a good time.
Just like to party, man. Just like to party.
So I know, fair play, in all honesty.
Well, thank you.
You're looking good, old friend.
Oh, thank you very much.
Can you still eat donuts? Like, you would you?
Yeah, I'd eat a donut. Yeah, fuck off a donut. Yeah.
Yeah. Is there a Krispy Kreme in Sheffield yet?
No, but the Tesco always has a stand. They get delivered to Tesco every day around the corner.
It's not like Manchester. Is it?
You got Taco Bell 30 seconds from your front door, motherfucker.
This in my old hometown there. So yeah, but I've got no room to talk. I'm the wrong side of 15 stone at the minute, as I say this. So I've got shit to sort out.
Well, you've made a good start. You've had a shave.
I've got a song plug.
Yeah.
So I've been in touch with Zombina and Skeletones.
I think you did a poster for them a few years back, if I recall.
You're right. Yeah. That's impressive.
Impressive?
Can't believe you remembered that.
Of course I remember that. I can't remember a fucking conversation I had with you the other day. I can remember that. Yeah, I can remember it well.
It was in the days where I was a bit more musically minded. I did it was a post for a gig Zombina did at Sheffield Uni, which is a place I used to work years ago actually, and it was a really good gig, and I was on the lefe and got fucking twatted, which is the only reason I didn't go and say hello. I saw Zombina at the bar.
You mean, you got really drunk or actually got twatted? What? Like, did you get beaten up or very drunk?
No, I mean, I got really pissed.
It came across like you got attacked.
Oh, no. I saw the singers, and I saw her at the bar, and I thought, I'm not going to go and say hello because I'm pissed dickhead at a bar. Yeah. She doesn't want to talk to me. So, but I regret that now, not talking to the band. Anyway, got in touch with Zombina, chatted to a nice chap called Ash, and listened to their recent stuff, some great stuff out there. So if you want to check out some Zombina and Skeletones, you can go to zombinaandtheskeletones1.bandcamp.com. To give you a bit of insight to the band, a bit hard to pin them down genre-wise, but they're a little bit garagey, bit rock, bit punk.
Yeah,
kind of a little bit goth as well, maybe, because they wear like the kind of spooky makeup and but in a fun sort of Scooby-Doo way.
Okay,
and excellent fucking visuals.
Right,
when I went on the Bandcamp, I ended up doing a screen capture because whoever's doing their artwork's fucking amazing. Some great art, and it's exactly the kind of stuff, you know, I love doing. You know, real kind of. Skulls and fucking gory faces and weird shit.
Sounds good.
They put out an album last year which is called Charnel House Rock, which you can get on Bandcamp for about, I think, about for £6 digitally, or I've just bought a CD which was a tenner, because they put in a big effort for packaging, which not many bands do these days.
What do you mean?
I know you guys do, but like, some bands think of music as just being a digital thing now, don't they?
Well, yeah.
Zombina will put in a booklet with loads of cool shit in it. And
that's nice. We would have done that if we were on them fat stacks. But yeah.
Well, they're doing the self-publishing gig, from what I gather. You know?
Okay.
But they've been around a while because they've been around since the Eight Drapes began.
Yeah. So
which is like going back to 2003 or something.
Yeah.
And they're a Liverpool band. So yeah, shout out to Zombina. I bought some of their stuff, some of their recent stuff, and this song's from their, it was a vinyl they put out a few years ago, and the song's called Teenage Caveman Beat Gargantua, and it's on a green vinyl, but you can get it as a digital download on Bandcamp. So here we go.
Sounds good.
Teenage Caveman.
Okay, so thanks to Zombina and Skeletones for that awesome tunage.
Pretty badass.
Yeah, good shit, good shit. It was a pleasure drawing you once, or drawing a fly for you.
That sounds weird. I hope she's listening.
Well, there's like five blokes in the band as well.
Oh, sorry.
And I didn't even draw a woman. I drew a zombie head. The Chef Uni gave me like a fucking essay to put on it, so all I had room to draw was like half a zombie head.
Oh.
But I think I did alright considering. So
yeah,
so thanks for tuning in.
Are we done?
Yeah.
Sure. Fucking hell, sorry. Yes, thanks for listening, thanks for your continued patronage, helping Meat for the Beast be what it is today.
Yeah, it's been a good year.
Certainly been a year.
Well, it's a year in 3 days from now since we published it.
Ooh. So,
yeah, feels good.
Yeah, well, that's flown by.
One was a rehash app, but, you know.
Still counts.
Yeah. So
we're all right. Aren't we pretty good?
Fucking A from the Beast. Year one.
Up top.
Motherfucker.
Oh, shit.
Should we smoke some shit?
Smoke some shit.